Of all days when we worship God, it's the easiest to say a word of grace, isn't it? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was purchased with his blood, given freely to you and me, may that grace be yours this day. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for giving your Spirit, for revealing yourself to us. In these few moments, remind us of the awesome invitation you continue to give to us. In Jesus' name, amen. To be honest, I'm probably not going to tell you anything this morning you don't already know. I have no new words of wisdom. I don't have a new slant on something we've heard before. I haven't had an aha moment as such as I prepared this sermon. I just want to remind you of something that is so awesome, something that is so incredible, that we've heard over and over again, that we've kind of put it back in the area of that with which we are familiar, and therefore it has not captured our thoughts and imaginations and our heart as it needs to. The title of the sermon is You Are Invited. I want to change that for a moment. I'm going to ask you to bear with me. I'm going to change it. Instead of saying you are, no, not that yet. I'm not there, ready for that yet. Go back. Okay. Instead of you are invited, I want it to be I am invited. And I want you to say it with me, and we're going to say it three times. The first time you're going to emphasize the first word I, then am, and then invited. You got that? That's pretty simple. And I want you to say it as if it, and it does, apply to you with all the meaning you can muster. Are you ready? Okay. I am invited. I am invited. I am invited. Now we're going to say it one more time using the title. But I want you to turn to the person next to you. If it's your spouse, that's okay. If it's your child, that's okay. And I want you to say to them, you, and just emphasize that first word, and we're going to do it three times, saying it to the person near you, all right? Are you ready? I don't want Daniel left out. He's sitting here by himself, so I'm going to make sure he hears it too, okay? So, are you ready? One, two, three. You are invited. Okay, ready? You are invited. Third time, you are invited. Is that good news or what? About a year ago at this time, I do have the clicker. About a year ago, there was probably the biggest social event of the year that was just getting ready to happen. Remember what it was? You had a hint if you saw the thing. It was the wedding of Prince William and Kate Middleton. Did you remember some of the flap that happened when they sent out the invitations? The President of the United States wasn't even invited, and some in America thought that that was a slap on the face to Americans. But in all due respect to the Queen and her family and to Kate and to Prince William and to Kate, they had exactly 1,992 places in the Westminster Abbey, where people could be seated. There are 7 billion people in the world. How in the world do you invite 7 billion people to a place that holds 1,992? Yesterday, there was this big flap about some lottery. Did anybody hear that? I went to get gas at the gas station, and I could hardly get in the door. I was looking up something else for the sermon, and I happened to see somebody did win. Okay? I don't know if it's one person or a group of people, but the odds, three people, okay. But the odds of those three people winning aren't nearly as much as the odds against you getting a wedding invitation. Well, by the way, did anybody here get an invitation just by chance? If you didn't get one, let me show you what it looked like. I cheated. I added the name. Now, what's interesting about this invitation is this. Those who went to the wedding were not charged to go to the wedding. The wedding was absolutely free. Unless maybe you were a British taxpayer, and then some of your tax money went to it. But the wedding was free to all who would attend. And there were many who attended via television and the internet. They believe tens of millions, maybe even hundreds of millions, watched it worldwide. But for those who went to the wedding, there was some cost. There was plane fare. There was hotel rooms. Notice, you can't see, it's kind of fuzzy, but dress, uniform, morning coat, or lounge suit. In other words, if I indeed did get an invitation, I couldn't have afforded to go. Vivian would have argued that point with me. But we couldn't have afforded to go. I would have to buy a greatcoat. We would have to have flown over. We would have had to have stayed in the motels. And we simply, the cost would have been too much. What you are invited to cost far more than that wedding. What you were invited to, in spite of the fact that there were a number of people in England and other places saying, this is a waste of money, all this money for this wedding. The cost of what you are invited to and what I am invited to cost far more. It cost Jesus coming to this earth, dying for you and for me, so that we could be invited to live forever with him. Let me remind you of some of the words for this invitation. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all ye that labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. We live in a labor-intensive and burdened world, don't we? People are working so hard to make ends meet. People are working so hard to make relationships work. People are working so hard to just figure out what life's all about. And there are people who are working so hard to win God's love and approval. And people are burdened. They're burned out. They're overborne by the struggles and trials and difficulties of life. And to those people, Jesus says, come to me. Let me give you rest. That's a great big invitation, is it not? It's an invitation that costs us nothing. Except it costs us recognizing that we can't provide for ourselves. We have to admit we have nothing to offer to pay him back for what he offers us. I want to point out another invitation of Scripture. Isaiah 55:1-3 and 6-9 from God's Word Translation. Listen, whoever is thirsty, come to the water. Whoever has no money can come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk. You don't have to pay. It's free. Why do you spend money on what cannot nourish you, and your wages on what does not satisfy you? Listen carefully to me. Eat what is good and enjoy the best of foods. Open your ears and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make an everlasting promise to you, the blessings I promised to David. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let wicked people abandon their ways. Let evil people abandon their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, and he will show compassion to them. Let them return to our God, because he will freely forgive them. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. What are God's ways that are higher? That he gives an invitation to the poorest of the poor and to the richest of the rich. He gives an invitation to those who are well-heeled in society and to those who don't know a single social grace at all. He gives the invitation to those who are well-educated and those who are ignorant. He gives the invitation to those from first-world countries and those from third-world countries. He gives the invitation to old and young alike. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you are thirsty to find something in life that satisfies you, come to me, because I and I alone can provide that which will satisfy the deepest longings of your heart. If you are hungry and need food, come to me, because I and I alone can provide the food that you will never hunger again. If you're poor in spirit, come to me, because I can provide the joy and the peace that passes understanding. I want you to notice what he says. He says, anyone who thirsts, anyone may come. Without money, they can come and buy. Why? Because it's already been purchased when Jesus died for you and me. In the passage that Rex read this morning, it's interesting what was taking place. Jesus had already instituted the Lord's Supper with his disciples. They had the first communion service. And even after the first communion service, and after Judas had left them, kind of walked out quietly so that no one would notice, they were still arguing with themselves as to who would be the greatest in the earthly kingdom that Jesus would set up. And it was in context of them arguing and struggling amongst themselves to argue about who would be the greatest that Jesus gave the invitation. When he said, as my Father has granted me a kingdom, as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I now grant you the right to eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you will sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. In other words, what he's saying is, you're talking and arguing about your place in an earthly kingdom. I'm not going to give you that. I'm going to give you a place in the heavenly kingdom. He says, this translation says, he's assigned it to them or granted it to them. In other words, what he says is, I'm giving it to you. You just have to accept it. This table reminds us that we have been invited to come and to eat the bread and to drink the wine that reminds us of Jesus' sacrifice that enables us to receive eternal life. But this table also reminds us that his sacrifice is also a promise that there is a day coming when we will sit down at the table of God in heaven and eat at that table with in his kingdom, with Jesus, with God, with the Spirit, with the angels, with the saints of all eternity. And that you and I are invited to be there. All we have to do is accept the invitation. Daily. That's why Paul said, I die daily. To accept that invitation. Kelly nailed it with the children's story. I said at the beginning, I'm not going to give you any new instruction. I'm not. The only thing I want to do in the message this morning is to help all of us reappreciate what's been given to us. The only thing I really want to accomplish is to let every single person here this morning know yes, you indeed are invited to be there. You indeed are invited. God wants you there. He's done everything possible to make it happen so that you can be there. And so the only thing remaining is, are you willing to accept the invitation again today? Are you willing to RSVP God? And you don't have to put a stamp on it. You don't have to make sure you got the right address on it. All you have to do is say, God, here I am. I accept what you offer. Thank you so much for what you've given. Those of you who know my wife know that she was born in Canada before Canada really became totally independent. And you may be aware that she kind of likes the idea of the royalty of England. If we had gotten that invitation, I don't know how we would have afforded it, but she'd have figured some way out. How can you not afford? How can we not afford to accept the invitation that's given so freely? There's not a person in this room who hasn't been invited. I want to end the message before we separate for the Lord's Supper, for the foot washing service. I want to begin, end the message the same way I began it. Will you say one more time with me? And we're going to use I am invited. Will you say it one more time with me? I think the level will be a little bit greater. One, two, three. I am invited. I am invited. I am invited by the God of the universe who loved you so much that he would rather die than live without you. We're going to separate for the foot washing service. If you